Coming up today, this evening at 6 o'clock, from 6 to 8, Senator John Marty, who is a longtime advocate for universal health care, will talk about why we need the system in Minnesota and how we can get there. He joins us this morning to talk about his presentation this evening a little bit. Senator Marty, good morning, and thanks so much for being our guest.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Can you summarize in layman's terms the idea of single-payer health care? We hear about it all the time, and I think to myself, well, I'm a single payer because I pay most of it by myself. But I realize that that's not exactly what they're talking about.
Right. The basic thing, the way I would describe it in simple terms, I don't use the word single payer very often because people don't know what it means. But basically what we're looking for is a universal health care system where people, when they're sick, they go to the doctor. When they have a tooth problem, they go to the dentist. They get the care they need. We all pay for it. We all benefit from it. And probably the easiest analogy would be like elementary school. A five-year-old child does not have to qualify to go to kindergarten. Their parents don't have to have the right school insurance plan. They just get to go because they're people and because we want everybody to get an education. And healthcare is something that's very similar. In a society, you want everybody to get good healthcare. You don't want some people in society who might have infectious diseases, somebody with tuberculosis not being treated because they don't qualify, because their health affects your health. And so the bottom line, simple way to explain it is we want it to be a universal system where you get the care you need when you need it. It's what most of the rest of the world has figured out. Because they get better health outcomes than us, despite spending, in most cases, less than half as much as we spend on health care.
Now, in America, where people are cost conscious, as you pointed out, we don't have universal health care, and many other nations do have universal health care. At what point did we diverge in America from the rest of the world, and why?
Okay, well, we sort of started this way. It was health care in most countries was not covered. People, 100 years ago, people didn't have health coverage, period. If you got sick, at a certain point, doctors weren't necessarily helping you. Some of the treatments they gave people might have been more harmful than good. But with the age of antibiotics and more medical knowledge and so on, doctors and medical providers became life-saving people who really saved the lives and improved the lives of lots and lots of people. And so at that point, most countries had to make a decision to move forward with it. And like England after World War II, Canada in the 1960s and others, they realized, how do we deliver this simply, like police and fire, like public education? Everybody needs it, so let's do it in the most simple way we can. In the U.S., it had happened during the war when they had price controls from World War II. The way employers could recruit employees would be to provide extra benefits, like health care benefits, which were relatively cheap at that time. And it just grew out of that system. So we diverged not by intent, but just by the way history worked.
At some point, however, though, there had to have been, and I'm thinking, if these systems began to evolve in the right. 40s, 50s, and 60s, at some point, somewhere along the line, though, the United States must have looked at the rest of the world and said, well, they're doing this and we're doing that, or healthcare is starting to increase. Maybe I'm just very cynical, but it seems to me that health insurers have a vested interest in not allowing universal health care. And maybe
right.
I'm just super, super cynical, but I have this sense that where there is a lot of money putting pressure on lawmakers, if we want to do something different, if we can't compete with the kind of money that they can bring to bear, we may as well just give up.
You raise a very legitimate point about the difficulty of passing reform. I think the polls have suggested, when you explain the concept of what a single-payer system, our Minnesota health plan, when you explain the concept of it, there's broad support for it. The polls have shown that consistently over the years. Among Republicans who hate the Affordable Care Act, there are twice as many Republicans who think we should move to the concept of a single payer as think we should stick with the Affordable Care Act. That's Republicans, moderates, independents and Democrats, much stronger support for it. The public support is there, but the difficulty is, as you said, when there are people making big money off of something, well, they don't like to change the system that they're benefiting from. And that's why you have big pharma, the pharmaceutical companies, who have been increasing prices sometimes 5,000% in a year or two on certain drugs that they find they're making more money this way, so they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to change the system. So it's not an easy fight. To me, this may be the biggest political fight of our generation. But to me, when we're spending, again, twice as much as the rest of the world spends per person on health care with worse outcomes, we have so many people who are going bankrupt because of their health care, so many people who don't get the care they need because of the cost. It seems to me that despite those strong odds against it, because of all the high pressure lobbying, the big money going against it, that it's something we just have to make happen.
When you go to a doctor now, even if you are dissatisfied with your service, you know, even if it's something, I went to the doctor the other day and, you know, and the idea was, well, you need to pay, you know, this bill and it has to be paid, you know, right now. And I mean, you go to the bill paying people before you even get to see the doctor and you can get jammed up because, well, this bill, you need a payment on this or blah, blah. You can be angry and you can say, this isn't customer service. The customer's not always right. You can turn around, you can walk out on your heel and nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Because they've got so many other customers, they don't care.
Yeah.
If you can't get companies to be responsive to you as an individual who is a customer, how in the world can you, again, without billions and billions of dollars, it seems like the individual has absolutely no leverage when it comes to it, trying to affect change.
Well, I mean, when you look at it, it's not as some people say, we need a free market healthcare system. Well, I don't know any country that has a real free market healthcare system. We certainly don't. And even if you did, if you look at the price disparities, there was a study the Minnesota Department of Health did in January that showed that a certain type of simple knee replacement surgery ranged from like $4,000 at some hospitals to 40-some thousand another one. 8-to-1 price disparity. Eight times as much. If you go out and buy a new, let's say, a Ford F-150 pickup truck, and you go buy one in Duluth, and you go try a shop around in Superior, or maybe even come down to the Twin Cities, you might find a 10% difference in cost, but you're not going to find an 800% difference in cost. I mean, that's bizarre. And yet that's the way it is, that price disparities are so wildly ranging because of our convoluted system where you don't pay the bills. The insurance company pays some of the bills, and they charge you, and they negotiate rates. And everybody's got their own little system going to try and protect themselves or try to make more money for themselves, and no logic behind any of it. We have some of the best health care available in the world, some of the best research, the best medical technology, the best doctors, the best medical education, some of the best of all that in the world. But the worst system for connecting that all together and the worst system for funding it, which is why we pay extreme amounts of money now, double what other countries are paying.
So without asking, which I guess I'm asking you to scoop your presentation, because the crux of the thing becomes if individuals have no leverage and if they can't somehow find a lever. I mean, if it's all about money and if it's all about protecting people that are making money, how can we affect a change?
Okay. Well, the thing is, that's a really tough question. And the only reason there's any reason for hope is that the current system is so bad, we cannot possibly sustain what's happening. If you look at how much we're spending on healthcare now, Warren Buffett told his shareholders last year that in the 1960s, Americans spent 5% of the gross national product on health care. Now it's up to 17%. And it's 17, that's $1 or $6 in the economy going in there. So the biggest thing we have going for us is that we can't keep doing what we're doing. It just doesn't work. And if you look at what people of both parties are saying, well, we should try this, we should try this, but none of them in politics, they're not really looking at the big answer, the big picture. And so that's what gives me hope, is we're not there, but people of every business, every individual is so scared of what's happening. It's just outrageous, and they know we have to change.
It seems to me that, again, that there are some voices in the wilderness that are saying, mm-hmm. look, here are all of these other countries, and they're all
right.
doing it, and they're not going bankrupt. But if a legislator says, I believe in universal health care, I think this is the way to go, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, we can do this, and yet there's going to be power mobilized against them to keep them from getting elected, or they say, you know, I'm mm-hmm. only going to get one term because this isn't popular and I won't win re-election. How do you work within the election
sure.
framework?
How do you do it? How do we make it actually happen? Well, two things. One, it is popular. It is popular when you explain the concept, when people see the benefits. Who doesn't want comprehensive health care that includes prescription drugs, includes dental care and mental health care and long-term care? Who doesn't want those things at a lower cost? Almost nobody is going to say, well, I like the way we do it now, so we're going to keep there. So there's huge political support for change. And so one of the things I'm saying is politicians who stick their necks out and support this actually do pretty well. And I'll give one illustration. The most popular politician in the country, hands down by 20% in the polls, 20% more popular than any other politician, Bernie Sanders. He was not even a Democrat. He had no money. He was from a small state, no name recognition. And it was on things like single-payer universal health care that people, hey, this guy's saying something that makes sense. And, you know, he, despite the political system odds against him, he's still the most popular politician out there nationally. And so to me, I'm trying to tell people, stick your neck out. Fight for this. Your retiring Congressman Rick Nolan, he's been a strong supporter of single-payer. Has he lost elections because of it? No, I think a lot of people say, that's one of the things we like about him. He stands up, sticks his neck out, and fights for universal health care. And so my pitch is to the politicians is, yes, some of the interest groups with a lot of money who donate to campaigns, they may work against you, but you don't have as hard of a sell in a campaign if you got the public behind you.
Senator Marty, thank you so very much for some plain conversation this morning to help clarify a complicated issue. Thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. And if people want to come, it's at 6 o'clock tonight at Central Hillside Community Center. So we'd love to see them there.
Thanks so much. Senator John Marty, again, the Central Hillside Community Center at 6 o'clock. The address is 12 East 4th Street in Duluth.